This is the American Soccer News Network.
Well, not much news going on today. But I'm back on the air here with Hank Alexander, the Midnight Ride, with my friend Bob Medeo from Soccer Soapbox. And Bob, it's Tuesday, August 2nd, and did we just wake up in a bizarro universe or something? Did this actually happen?
I think I'm going to turn on the TV and see Bob Kraft running around with a scarf on pretty soon. I'm not sure what's going on.
There's some craziness going on. Craziness is taking over Foxborough. I mean, there's madcap mayhem afoot.
The revolution roller coaster kicked into high gear.
What is going on?
Well, some of it's pretty good. We hope
some of it is pretty good, and you have to from my perspective, it's good news for Revs fans because the front office has come through on one of their many efforts that they've been trying to do this year. And obviously the news we're talking about is the signing of the Revs' first ever designated player.
Wow!
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I had written it off. I thought that they weren't going to get it done. I have to be honest.
He's not even 40 years old. I don't know.
He's got to be at least 82. They say he's 22.
It's hard to believe.
I said, well, how did they get him? And this is where things get a little dicey. I mean, it's a very questionable signing in the eyes of a lot of fans. And, you know, you got to look at, and some of the media as well is looking around. This guy, his name is Milton Caraglio. How was my pronunciation?
Pretty good? That's pretty good, dude. Yeah.
Caraglio. He's Argentinian. He's 22 years old. And apparently he's had about 4 knee surgeries. But let's not sugarcoat anything here.
And I hadn't heard a number. I know he had a knee problem that knocked him out of the all Argentine squad that Maradona had tried playing with for a bit. And it was seemingly the similar time that a trial with West Ham fell through based on the medical. So I don't. You probably got some better info than me.
No, my info comes from Twitter. I don't know if it's valid or not.
So Twitter is the source of all truth, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah. But it's what I saw. You know, as soon as I saw the news, I immediately Googled this gentleman. and just as you said, you know, he had some. He had a trial with West Ham last year. And they decided to not offer him a contract because of his knee issues. I think he's scored something like 14 goals and 49 appearances or something along those lines. I don't have the stats in front of me for his club in Argentina.
Nice. Hey,
hey, there you go. It's a new country.
I think it was 11 goals and 49 appearances.
11 goals and 49 appearances for
Argentina. Appearances in Argentina.
Yeah, appearances in Argentina. And the club was Rosario Central.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 4 seasons worth of goals for him. So, not... Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, it's not like blown away by stats. I guess one thing is if he's 22, I mean, that means he joined, you know, he was pretty young. Maybe he wasn't getting much time in those first years.
Yep, and then, you know, recovering from knee injuries as well, we had to assume that there was some issues there. So we don't know how many, you know, where did all the goals come in the last season? Or is this... it does say in the press release that he missed much of the 2009-2010 season while rehabilitating ligament injuries. So we're hopeful
We are. Say. I mean, there's some upsides, right? He's a big kid, which, you know, isn't needed. Certainly, I'd be all for small and skillful as well. But if he's got skills, and at least there's one YouTube clip of a nice bicycle kick, maybe the only great clip or one of many that we'll eventually see, we don't know.
Yeah, there are actually quite a few clips out there of this guy and his 11 goals. So it's good news for the Revs. And I think you have to be, as a fan, you have to be a little bit excited about the fact that the front office made a move. And if they're addressing the issues that have so, you know, plagued this club this season, I mean, that's lack of goal scoring. And, you know, I think they've only scored 14 goals this season. I should have this up in front of me.
I think it's a little bit more than that, but it's pretty low.
It is pretty low.
I wanted to say 20, but I also do not have up in front of me, so facts be damned, we'll just, you know, press on.
we'll make it up as we go. But the point being is that last season they scored the, you know, fewest amount of goals that they'd ever scored in the franchise history, and this year they're well on their way to, you know, beating that. You know, after, was it 20? Let's see, they played 21 games, 22. Yeah, 21 games, and they have scored 19 goals.
It's not going to scare a lot of teams.
Yeah, it doesn't really scare a lot. So this, hopefully, is a move that will address that. And we keep saying hopefully. We don't know a lot about this guy, except for the fact that he has had kind of some scattered success over a, you know, four-year span with this Argentinian club, and it's not even, you know, top flight Argentina. So,
and I don't know if it was at some point, because I think Rosario Central was probably top division at one point. They might have recently fallen back, but I can't say that I'm totally up to speed on the Argentine division, first division. So
yeah,
we could probably figure that out. But we're breaking news today. You know,
information, yeah, this is huge.
Coming in slow.
This is huge.
I will say this: whether it's first or second division Argentina, it's a tough. You know, those guys don't mess around down there. I think it's the right kind of league. I think we've seen other Argentines come into MLS and have success. They don't get pushed around. They're used to, you know, fans and passion. They're used to sort of both skillful but tough play from time to time. So, with the constant, you know, concerns of MLS being a quote, you know, physical league, I don't think that's going to intimidate a 6'2" guy playing in the Argentine league. So that's good news.
Right. And I think you're right there. And you look at some of the other guys that I think is Franco Correa came out of Argentina. And, you know, he's a big, solid guy, although apparently he's injured, and we can talk about that later. But, you know, so there's an Argentinian on the club already. So that's good news. So the guy won't be lonely at the lunch table.
Yeah.
And he might have some support there from his countrymen, which is great. So hopefully he comes right in. He fits right in. And the Revs get him into the system as soon as possible. And, you know, he suits up on Saturday night and scores a hat trick. That would be a heck of a start.
That would be.
That would be. So the word is that he's scheduled to be arriving in Foxborough sometime on Thursday, or at least training with the team on Thursday. But there's some paperwork that still needs to go through the front office. It's like an international transfer clearance or something like that. And if that clears by, you know, 5 o'clock Friday, I guess, then he's good to go on Saturday night. And, you know, you would think that would get done, given the fact that this is what the league is supposed to do, and the team should have all the paperwork needed, ready to go. You know, even if the guy was sitting on the other end of the phone going hemming and hawing, you know, Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe, you know, you would think that the Revolution would have all the forms ready to fill out, except for maybe the, you know, the final number, whatever they agree to.
I think a lot of this is half full, half empty. I think you're that's the right half full view. I also want to recall that we couldn't pull off a tribute game for one of our better players recently without the right paperwork. So
yeah,
let's hope that lessons have been learned.
And
papers and I's have been dotted and T's have been crossed.
Yeah, I mean, with the amount of international signings that the Revs have done in the last 3 years or 2 years, I should say, the last two seasons. You would think that they have a good idea as to how this goes.
You'd think, although, yeah, one thing that did... I'm doing my best to take the half-full approach, which is like, hey, this kid showed potential, had a bum time to get a knee injury, missed his big window, and this is way to get seen, right? So let's hope that's the thing. The flip side that's funny, and Mike Burns went into a lot of this detail with on the MLS soccer note that Kyle wrote... Interesting, right? He said we have all the documentation. If I remember correctly, Steve Nichol flew to, I don't know, Paris or wherever he was to see Dabo play and make sure he was healthy, and we know how that turned out.
Right.
And so far, it sounds as if we're looking at paperwork that says he's healthy. So it's just strange that DP level didn't fly out. Nobody went as far as that quote would lead you to believe to see him play. So, oh boy,
yeah.
It would be so painful for this kid to come here and fail a physical in 2 days' time or whatever. That would just be, you know, mayhem.
I think that would be that'd be crazy.
I mean, that's a pretty negative view. So hopefully that is.
Well, hey, they wouldn't announce that they've made a designated player signing. You know, if the guy couldn't play at all, unless they're, you know, that desperate to appease the fans, which there maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But I just can't see them saying, oh, yeah, we just spent all this money on a guy who's not going to be able to play for us. That would just be the worst sign of inadequacy of club management ever.
Yeah, well. Yes, so let's hope we don't have to have that on the next podcast.
Yeah, let's not talk about that anymore.
It just felt funny that, all right, we've got Dabo coming in, we have some concerns, we're going to fly someone to see him.
Right.
Now, the big difference is Dabo was much older, obviously, but this kid's obviously getting paid a lot of money, or enough money.
I think Steve Nichol even played with Dabo. I mean, I'm kidding.
As school kids?
Yeah, school kids.
But you know, this guy's coming and getting paid more. You'd have thought somebody would have been on a plane, but
right.
Hey.
Right, and that's an interesting thing as well, because, you know, you got to wonder, we don't know how much he's getting paid yet. I'm sure we'll find out soon. But, you know, the team won't disclose any of that kind of information. We don't know how long the contract's for. We don't know, you know, if it's a full transaction, or is this a loan deal even, or is that, does he have an option to go back after the end of the season? So, I mean, none of this stuff has been disclosed, and salary hasn't been disclosed. And, you know, you have to wonder how they've structured this under the league. I mean, I think the minimum number or the maximum number before the player can be a designated player is something like, was it
450, something like
four
that.
Something or other. So,
give or take.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Can you, I honestly, I don't know the answer to this off the top of my head, but can you loan a DP? Does that work?
Well, I think technically Freddie Montero is on loan.
He was, but I think when they turned him into a DP, they bought out his contract, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
It has happened.
I think I had thought that he had come in as a designated player on
the... No, so I'm pretty sure Montero came in as a, you know, well-paid but not DP. He was a loan, and they turned him into a DP to keep him. And then I think in that process, they flipped his contract.
Well, okay. So we have some more homework to do on the whole designated player structure.
Yeah, for some reason, that one, I don't know, I tend to have a soft spot for the Colombians in the league, too. I think I recall that as what they did. People were real happy that they kept him, and the way they kept him was giving him a new contract as a DP.
Right, right. And he obviously has had his ups and downs, but he seems to be turning it on a bit. But so we hope, we're confident, you know, 22 years old, if he can stay healthy and he can play on turf.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know? And if nothing else, it's at least a sign of, it's good for, we need someone who knows what the goal is, aside from Mr. Lekic's beautiful strike this week.
Right.
And it's a sign of intent from the front office, which is, I think, what a lot of fans wanted. I would rather an attempt that goes okay than just nothing.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely. So tell you what, let's pause here. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the game last week and some of the other stuff that's going on at the club down in Foxborough. But, and we'll talk some more about this because I know it's going to come back up. But we're all excited. And, you know, welcome to the team, Milton, I guess is what we're going to call you. Because nobody can pronounce your last name. Stick around, we'll be right back.
This is Danny Beerstein, founder of the Free Beer Movement. Help us build American soccer one beer at a time by visiting www.thefreebeermovement.com. It's American soccer culture with a nice buzz.
This is Darius Barnes, and you're listening to The Midnight Ride.
Já está na hora.
All right, we're back on the Midnight Ride. It's Hank again with Bob Medeo, Soccer Soapbox. And Bob, so all the buzz about Mr. Milton Caraglio coming into the club today, and then to cap it all off, to kind of, you know, to really send the Twitter frenzy going. Not only was the designated player caused a little Twitter storm, but then, you know, comments from Shari Joseph on Twitter about his playing status and what his plans were for next year, or, you know, or at least what we know where he's not going to be next year, according to him, his tweet. So, you know, coming out and saying basically that, you know, he was excited about the designated player signing and that he's going to come out and give it his all. I'm paraphrasing here.
I can read it to you if you want the words.
Well, go ahead and read the words. I'll read into it.
All right, and I'll read it as typed. My heart skipped a beat when I just read the news. I know I won't be back next year, so I'm just happy to give it all this year.
Right. So the news there that he has already decided that, or he has already decided that he is not coming back next year, or it could just be that his contract's up and he doesn't think that he's going to get the contract that he wants. Now, we've known that his contract is up. I mean, anybody that's done the math knew that he had a 4-year deal, and he's scheduled to make a ton of money next year if they pick him up or whatever, or. I mean, I think he's on the books for $500,000 or close to it. And
sounds about right. He's not a DP, so it's probably just about that.
Right. And then, you know, if they were going to make him a DP, would that be enough to get him to stay? And I'm not opposed to him staying if he can still play. One thing that people... We love this guy so much in this town. He's great, and he's been a great kind of figurehead for the team when, you know, we lost the face of the franchise and Taylor Twellman early on, you know, too early. We could have gotten maybe a couple more years out of Taylor. And then you lose guys like Stevie Ralston and even Jay Heaps, Jeff Larenowitz. These guys were... you know, solid members of a core group of players for this team. And Shelby Joseph and Matt Reese are really the last two holdovers for that. So there's a lot of sentimentality associated with Shalrie Joseph, and to see tweets like that from him right out of his own mouth, it's going to put Twitter in an uproar. It's going to put the whole fan base in an uproar.
Yeah. And it's just funny coming on right on top of what looked like such good news, and you get this kind of shocker.
But, you know, and you read into his tweet a little bit. I mean, okay, granted, we knew that he was leaving or that there was the potential for him leaving. And, you know, Twitter, it's only 140 characters. You can't capture everything that you want to say in Twitter. So, you know, A, it probably wasn't the smartest thing for him to do, and I bet the front office isn't very happy. But B, he does say that he's excited and he's going to work hard for the rest of the season. And, you know, that's, you know, kind of encouraging. Like, hey, you know, he's just excited now and he's going to give it his all. And, you know, whatever may happen, may happen. And I'm inclined to believe, just from the way that this club has been run and some of the stuff we've heard from other players and how they haven't been able to make things work, aka a la, you know, Jeff Lorenowitz and Marko Perović and even Steve Ralston to a degree, although Steve, you know, did come
Andy
back.
Andy Dorman maybe fits that mold.
Andy Dorman, definitely. And so you look at all of these kind of things, and some people would even throw Mauricio Castro in there, although I don't know if I would. You look at this and you say, okay, you know, how many more years does Shalrie have? What's his value to the club? And what's he going to bring? Is he worth designated player status? And, you know, if he was 28 years old?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, hell yeah.
33? Is that right?
He's 33 now. And he's
it's a tough question.
It's a real tough question. You know, you've got to make that as a business decision. The club's got to make this, you know, make an investment here, and they want to decide how much they're going to invest in this. What's going to be their rate of return? And you know, it's kind of hard for us to say that because like I just said, you know, this guy is his. I can't imagine him playing in any other shirt. That would just be heartbreaking to me and to everybody else.
And the funny thing, too, is where is he from? I mean, we know what shirt would be his probable preference to go back home.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe the Cosmos would end up with
Cosmos. Yes, the Cosmos. I'd let him play for the Cosmos.
He could be the next Checker.
There you go.
But, you know, if you go back to the point of the tweet, it's either, I mean, I can only kind of see. There's probably more. I've not really thought about this until I've been out a little while, but kind of there's interpretation one, which is Shalrie's decided he doesn't want to be back. There's, you know, interpretation two, the front office has said enough that he doesn't think he's going to get anything worth staying for. And the only reason that seems a little bit hard to believe is that they're so tight to the vest about what they're going to do until the last minute, you think. At least in the history of some of those negotiations you were talking about, it seems that they don't let on a lot. You know, and until they have to. And then the last potential interpretation is, hey, I'm going to throw this out there. I even saw someone on Twitter, I can't remember off the top of my head here, but was saying, hey, didn't bring Benny to Boston worked. I wonder if keep Shalrie in Boston worked. I mean,
yeah, maybe we'll make Shalrie a DP or something.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the you could argue it's somewhat shrewd if his goal was to get the fans a little bit up in base if he didn't want to leave and put some pressure on the front office to do something.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario here because, like you said, we don't know exactly what he meant, and you know we'll have a chance to talk to Shalrie later this week when we get down to the to watch the game this Saturday. But you know you've got, and I bet you that he comes out and says something. You know, the PR department will be on him tomorrow. And he'll come out and say something about his tweet, and you know, then we'll figure out exactly what he was talking about all along. But the upshot, again, like I said, is you know he's thrilled, and hopefully the rest of the team is thrilled, and they're energetic and they're enthused, and they can go out on Saturday, take this kind of momentum, and then carry that over into a great performance on Saturday night. And speaking of, let's talk a little bit, speaking about great performances, I mean, they're not super stellar performances, but the Reds had a three-game road trip, and they picked up at least a point in each one of those games and came back with five out of possible nine. Now, granted, they almost had seven. They almost had 3 points in Kansas City, which in Kansas City has been red hot. But, you know, unfortunately, a red card put them, you know, in the hole once again. That's their, I think I counted this, their fourth red card over the last five games or something like that. And it brings their season total up to seven, which is, I think they're tied now for the most red cards they've ever had in a single season. So that's not so good. But and they keep getting themselves into these positions where they have to defend for extended periods of time, you know, playing a man down. And for the most part, the people are getting ejected are, in fact,
last line of defense.
Defenders, right?
Yeah.
AJ Soares is a rookie. Picked up his second red card last Saturday. Ryan Cochran's gotten ejected for a double yellow. And then Chris Tierney got ejected in Colorado.
Jeez.
So.
And Phil Hauber, right?
Benny was the other one who got...
Just temper tantrum.
Yep. And then I counted it as a red card ejection, even though it wasn't. It was yellow card accumulation for Shaury Joseph. So Shaury would have been the fifth red card if, in fact, it was a red card. But it wasn't, so I can't count that. Anyway, there was four red cards. You know, if you go back to Ryan Cochran, it's Ryan, Benny, Chris, and then AJ. Not a good scene.
No, and it's... You know, I mean, most of them were, I guess, in Soares, you can kind of argue it was, looked like he got the ball. It was a pretty risky tackle to go in and make. It's like you put yourself out there for the ref to make a decision. That's tough.
I
think it was a harsh decision, maybe, but, you know, once you get somebody and you're last man like that, you're asking for trouble.
Right. And so that particular call has got to be, it's a hard, the way the refs have been calling it all season. They've been calling this as a foul. And, you know, it's some days it works for you, some days it doesn't. And, you know, you look at the call that the Revs got in Real Salt Lake, they put Nat Porcher's off in the third minute. You know, it's kind of similar in the fact that there was no foul, really. But, you know, Porcher's got sent off. And you could call it karma, you could call it, you know, justice, whatever you want. It's like you said, Bob, it's a tough call for the referee to make. And I think in that situation that they've been, for the most part, calling them consistently as red cards. So not good for the Revs. And now they're going to be without AJ Soares this Saturday. But we did, one big thing did happen on last Saturday was the Revs scored on the run of play, which hasn't happened in a long, long time.
No.
So, and Rajko Lekić has now notched his fourth or his fifth?
Yeah, I don't know the number. I don't know if it was quite that much, but it must be close now.
Yep, I think it's his fourth. He's definitely up there in terms of the league, the team leaders, right behind Shaury Joseph, who I think has six.
Fourth goal, I believe you're right. Four and then six for Shaury.
Right.
Six. You know, the funny thing with the Lekić goal was that was the kind of goal poaching, goal scoring, whatever you want to say, that we were hoping to see out of him.
Right.
But I also think, and this is funny, one of the thoughts I had earlier when we signed this hopefully great new forward, let's be positive, how did he score that goal? We had no passes in the middle. It was goalie to forward. And so one of my first thoughts with the new forward is, great, now who's going to pass him the ball if we never have it?
Exactly.
So that's, you know, so great results last week. Performances were, oh, okay. you know, it's just kind of funny. Well-taken goal straight from a goalkeeper. You know, right. So it's kind of a funny one.
Right. And the Revs are going to be forced to make some changes, it looks like. Obviously, with AJ Soares out, you've got your back line now is going to be, you know, Tierney, Cochran, Barnes, and Alston.
Well, it depends if Cochran is fully recovered, or do they do a Korea?
Korea is out as of today. He is.
He's
on the injured list.
Okay, you're right.
For MCL sprain.
So Cochran better be ready to go.
And an MCL sprain could be a couple weeks.
I mean,
that's not good.
Yeah, you're right.
So Cochran's going to be ready to go. If it's not Cochran, then you got Otto Lowy.
Yeah, who's really only seen time in an Open Cup and a couple other things.
Yeah, and he saw a little bit of time in the friendly against Manchester United.
Yes.
Some reserve games. And he's played well in the reserve games, I hear. And except for the first one we saw, which was kind of a barn burner against DC United. But right. But I actually got a chance to speak with Otto last week at the charity event that the Revs put on, and he's a solid kid. He's not small, but he's not like a 6'4" defender.
Right.
He's more along the lines. He's kind of in between Darius and Alston, maybe closer to Darius, maybe a bit sturdier as well, but I'm not sure. We'll see if he gets on the field. But you know, I'm hoping that Otto, does get some playing time. He seemed a decent chap. And if Cochran's not ready to go, then I think that you have to turn to him.
Who knows? Well, Cochran is at least officially off questionable or doubtful, so presumptively he's ready to go.
Right. So we can assume that he's going to start at least.
Yeah, probably so.
And then. Benny Failhaber, and I don't think it's the team has been announced, but there's a chance that Benny Failhaber may get called up to the national team.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of a blow.
Shall we say? Mixed blessing?
A mixed blessing? I don't know. I think that would be bad. Just not a mixed blessing at all. Let me just also real fast check the injury list, because I think I saw Stephen McCarthy was also on the injury list.
He is doubtful with a shoulder dislocation.
That's got to hurt.
That definitely has to hurt. He does not seem like it. Let me phrase it the other way. He seems like a tough kid, and it looked like it hurt when it happened.
Yeah.
But, yep. You know, one thing on Failhaber, my mixed blessing, one, obviously, there's a lot of U.S. soccer news outside of just Revolution World, and you know, I like to think about that stuff too, and good for Benny. But I also think if there's been a sense of frustration that I think sometimes boils over for Benny, the idea that he is in the U.S. picture, not being forgotten about, you know, the whole thing might help with that. So I think the mixed blessing could be keeps him on sort of an even keel, the fact that he's still in that picture, and, you know, Klinsmann gives him a look.
Yeah, and I think that would be
doesn't great. Help for the game no, that we've had against, this business, but yeah, it might help
this
with the
as a must-win game for the Revs, unless they're writing off the season already, which they shouldn't, considering they have, I think, you know, 13 games left.
Yeah, it's not
13
not
or 14.
Yet.
So I mean, there's a chance, right? If they if they win 6 out of those, I mean, that's 18 points, puts them up. You know, near 40, there's a chance they can make the playoffs.
But wouldn't he be able to play?
Yeah, you would think. But from what I saw, they said that he would be joining the team in a kind of a mini camp.
I guess Klinsmann doesn't know anybody, so he needs probably a little bit extra time.
Yeah, he definitely would. So, so it could be a completely, you know, out of sorts, new kind of lineup for.
I want to see Fagundes in if Failhaber can't go. Somebody with something creative or interesting.
Actually, that's not a bad idea at all.
In a must-win game, maybe that's the silliest thing I've said all podcasts, and I've probably put out a few silly ones by now. But
right.
But you know, I mean, give us something interesting here. I mean, if the new kid's up front, obviously that'll be interesting. Man, the paperwork will have to go smoothly for him to really play. I'm worried.
Yeah,
but I think creative and offensive, yeah, maybe Fagundes could give it a go.
Not a bad idea at all. And, you know, there's other, you know, the other options on the bench for the Revolution as well. You know, you got Andrew Souza, Ryan Kinney, Alan Koger. I mean, who knows? And, you know, don't forget, we still have Sandy Nyasi, They could, and Kenny Mansalli, they could just go straight back to a 4-4-2. And given the fact that they, you know, are, without Stephen McCarthy, they'll probably would like to probably move Benny back into the middle with Shawry if Benny stays.
Yeah, if he's here.
Right. So I would think that they move Benny back in the middle there, you would think. And if they do get Milton for Saturday night, then you maybe switch to a 4-4-2. And maybe this is the game to bring out a guy like Fagundes. You know, somebody.
Well, you also got Ryan Guy who could play out wide if you. Yep. I mean, there's a bunch of. I think the harder option is what do you put in the center? And I, you know, I'm just thinking through the team here, and I'm thinking of what Steve Nichol might think. You know, Mr. Tierney seems to be the, you know, plug any gap kind of guy because he just goes out there and does a job.
Right.
So I could see that perhaps pairing with.
But then who plays left back?
Left back. Yeah. Good question.
I mean, so do you put Otto in and put Darius at left back, or do you put Otto at left back?
That doesn't seem likely. Yeah, you're probably. That's a good question. It'd be an interesting lineup to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge, and that's kind of my point. So, you know, we're kind of running over on this segment too. Everything is just flowing rather freely tonight. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's left to talk about, and we'll wrap things up. But stick around. We'll be right back right after this. Carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still gets you uptight. Football Fall River. Be very, very excited. All right, we're back on the Midnight Ride. It's Hank once again with Bob Medeo, Soccer Soapbox. And Bob, you know, for everything that the front office has done wrong this season, you know, you've got Fortgate, you've got Marko Perović leaving, you've got, you know, the signings of Usman Dabo and Didier Domi, and obviously both are no longer with the team. And you can even go back as far back as this offseason when they signed Seth Stanovic to an extension and then released him. And
then released the player who they replaced him with.
Exactly.
For a lot more money.
For a lot more money. But you've got to think now that if you're on the outside looking in at this Revolution team and you're not caught up in the drama of the players and Fortgate and the other stuff. The front office this season has signed a shirt sponsor.
Yeah.
And they've gone out and they've gotten a designated player.
And the irony, and you're right, I mean, to stay out of the drama, one must stay off Twitter as well, I think. Like the new reverb chamber for Revs fans, and rightly so. It's where I get most of my news. Why am I kidding? But, you know, we don't like to say this because we're not excited about how full the stadium gets and Fortgate and everything else. But from a pure non-emotional business standpoint, it appears the, let's call it, number of tickets distributed, to not get into the butts and seats conversation, but is actually up from last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can split those numbers six ways to Sunday, but from a... It ain't great. It doesn't look like a lot of energy relative to attendance. But at the same point, it's not going down. So, right. I mean, it's moderately positive.
Right. Yeah. Do you want to dare make a prediction?
I'll go with... I'm going to go ahead. Since we're giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, I'll call it a 1-0 win.
A 1-0 win. I like it. Why not? I like it. I'll say it's going to be at least a 1-0 win for the Revolution. And maybe a 2-0 win. And I think Shalosky and Niasse are going to score, because I think what's going to happen is Sandy Niasse has seen his brother score 4 goals in the last month, and I think he's going to get jealous and he's going to try to start scoring some more goals himself.
Whatever works.
All right, so Bob, soccersoapbox.com, right?
You got it. It's pretty dusty right now, but you got it.
All right. Well, make sure you check out Bob at SoccerSoapbox.com. He is inclined to write from time to time, and it's usually very good when he does.
Yeah.
And for this show, it's the midnight. It's Rev's Midnight Ride at .blogspot.com. It's Rev's Midnight Ride at gmail.com for email. Please feel free to send us your emails, or you can send us tweets at TMR Podcast on Twitter. And thanks everybody for listening. This is the Midnight Ride, and we'll catch you guys next time. Cheers.
Done this if it wasn't for you.